Join me in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. And before you put that up, Doug, this passage that we're moving into this morning, many would refer to it as one of the more critical foundational elements of biblical teaching. Peter here addresses something that is very important to the very core of our belief system. Because here in this portion of chapter 1, Peter addresses the validity of the apostles' writing of Holy Scripture, all of the writers of Holy Scripture. He also addresses the source of that inspiration, and he very clearly identifies who wrote the holy text that you hold in your hands. You might ask the question, why is this so critical, and why would I say it's one of the more critical foundational elements of our biblical teaching, of our relationship with God through Christ, etc.? Well, the answer is very simple, if not far-reaching. What one believes and accepts as true concerning the inspiration and authority of holy text influences everything else that you might believe or accept as true as it relates to God and faith and our relationship with God. Let me say that again, because this is the very essence of what Peter is going to address here. What one believes and accepts as true as it concerns the inspiration and the authority of the Bible influences everything. And I will give you some illustrations here just in a moment that bears that out. So here the question is asked of all of us, which Peter will give us the answer. But what do you believe the Bible to be? What do you believe about the inspiration and authority of the Holy Text? Because that belief is the foundation for everything else that is taught in Holy Text. Now, Doug, if you would, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 and following. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his holy, inerrant, inspired word. First of all, let's start with the inspiration of Scripture. Perhaps the most foundational element of all of our faith is the authority and the inspiration of Scripture, as I've said. For you see, if there is not an ultimate, objective standard for truth, then the door is open for each and every person to fashion his or her own image of God and to construct a religion that is more reflective of the culture than it is of God's reality. This morning in Sunday school, we were speaking of the great reformer Martin Luther, and this was his very battle with the Catholic Church of his day. You see, the Catholic Church of Martin Luther's day argued that it is not proper nor safe for the Word of God to be left to the hands or to the mind and to the thinking of the common person. The reformers fought against this, saying every person should have holy text written in his or her own language so that they can read and understand. Well, the Catholic Church argued that if we were allowed to hold the holy text in our hands and read it and interpret it ourselves, there would be incredible errors made all across the board. Well, the Catholic Church was right, because we've seen countless diverse faith practices, cults, misinterpretations, inappropriate teachings, even in our own day. How many variations and styles of thinking and teaching do we have in our own area? They are voluminous. And so the Catholic Church's fear has come to pass. However, the reformers fought on, therefore you do hold the Bible in your hands, because you see, the reformers did not depend upon the church to be the interpreter of Scripture. The reformers depended upon the Holy Spirit to be the interpreter of Scripture for each and every one of us individually. But what that burdens us to do is to be submissive to that teaching, to that work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Yes, are errors made? Absolutely. In my interpretation, in my thinking. But we try, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, to teach, first of all, to interpret and to understand what the Holy Spirit meant in its very first offering of this word. And we go further to say that we use Scripture to interpret Scripture. We are not allowed to make interpretations of our own volition. While the Catholic Church was correct that errors would be made, and as I've said, they're voluminous, God's Word, however, was given to the people. And so we are to be submissive and come under its authority. But see, then I go back to my question. What do you believe about the authority and the inspiration of Holy Scripture? The Holy Scriptures themselves testify clearly that they are the divine inspired Word of God. And they are His instruction on how we are to live in a relationship with Him. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is the text oft quoted because it is the best when speaking of this inspiration. It says, Paul writes to the young Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God, woman of God, may be complete and equipped for every good work. So if we want to be complete, we want to be equipped for every good work, then we go to the Holy Scriptures. And then Paul writes here that Holy Scripture is breathed out by God. The actual word in the Greek means expired. Not expired as ran out of date, but the truest expiration of breath from the very essence of God is what the Holy Text is. This is of God. This is of the essence of God. And just as I pointed out to the three young men down here, that they all rightly said, because it's here, it's true. Why is it true? Not because it's in the Bible, however, that's a good argument. It's true because the author is true. And this word reflects his truthfulness. The Bible is authoritative because it's the authority given by God Himself. And when we discuss biblical inspiration, when we discuss biblical authority, when we discuss any of this, we must always start first with God and what He intended in this word that we hold in our hands. The Confession of Faith states, the authority of Holy Scripture depends not on the testimony of any man or of any church. And in the confession, that church is capitalized, and so I think you know their point. It's pointing at the Catholic Church. But wholly upon God. It is dependent wholly upon God, who is truth himself, the author thereof, and therefore it is to be received because it is the Word of God. And this is where we stand. When we look at this holy text, this is where we stand. I pray it's where you stand. However, this view of Scripture is the subject of much argument by many, and has been down through the ages. There is an increasing tendency by some to look at sources outside of Scripture for authority and for guidance. Often, statements from cultural sources and the opinions of man are taken at a much, much greater value and a higher face value, while biblical claims are treated with great suspicion. I'll give you one here. The former vice moderator of the PCUSA Church said, "Sola Scriptura," meaning Scripture alone, "is dead in most places and dying rapidly in others. So, where do we lodge the authority of our faith? That's the real battle we fought in the church. We're not really arguing about the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender inclusion. What we are arguing about is how we read the Bible." Folks in the Christian community, I cannot say and I will not state in the pagan culture, but in the Christian community, the reason the diverse lifestyle is accepted is because Holy Scripture is not taken as authoritative or as inspired of God. Many will say it was written by mortal men 2,000 plus years ago, and those men were not as wise in human nature as we are today. We understand the height that man can arise to that Paul did not understand when he wrote against the diverse lifestyles. We are much smarter today. Well, brothers and sisters, what the individual says when they make that statement is exactly that, that the Bible was written by men. It is not divinely inspired. Rudolf Bultmann, Paul Tillich, two German philosophers, theologians of the early 20th century, who have still a great influence on the Protestant faith, regarded the Bible as a fallible collection of religious writings on which the early church arbitrarily imposed an authority that the evangelical church today has continued to uphold. These two gentlemen argued that the apostles, the disciples most particularly, since Jesus Christ was dead, they had to come up with some idea to make their religion work. So they wrote the New Testament. Had nothing to do with Christ in and of itself, had nothing to do with God, had nothing to do with the divinely inspired word. They just had to cover themselves in the story of which Jesus had propagated. Again, written by men, not divinely inspired. There are many today who believe in partial inspiration of Holy Scriptures. There's always a middle ground. Many today believe in the partial inspiration theory, which holds that the Word of God is contained in Scripture, but it should not be equated fully with Scripture. I was at a service not too long ago, some of you were there as well, where the minister said before he read the holy text, he said, "Listen for the Word of God as I read." My little flags popped up. Okay, if I'm listening for the Word of God, what other word am I listening for? What else is contained in here if I'm listening for the particulars of God's Word? What else is here? And then who gets to choose which parts are God's Word and which parts aren't? Well, those that we think are inspired. Okay, which would those be? Well, the one that pertain to what we believe. Which one would those be? And you see the hole that they fall off into. It means I get to pick and choose. I don't like that text. Our beloved leader, Thomas Jefferson, was phenomenal in that view. If you ever get a chance to look at the Thomas Jefferson Bible, take a look at it. He went through the Bible and cut out everything that had to do with miracles because he did not believe in divine inspiration. Bless his heart. Folks, as I say, this is one of the core issues of our faith of our time. And again, I ask the question, what do you believe about the authority and the inspiration of Scripture? Because the answer to that question provides the framework for everything else that we believe. And I pray you believe, as I believe, which this church believes, our denomination believes, what Peter has written here in verses 20 and 21. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's our confession. That's our profession of what we believe about holy text. And see, this is the phenomenal thing. If you just stop and think about this for just a moment, the Bible was written over a 1,600-year period of time. Its writers came from different times, came from different walks of life, different backgrounds. Some were farmers, some were fishermen, some shepherds, prophets, judges, kings. Why, we even have a medical doctor writer. Those who wrote the Bible lived at different times, some separated by hundreds of years, separated by different forms of government, separated by different cultures, and different systems of philosophies. They all came, for the most part, from different backgrounds and brought together to write holy texts. And here's the wonder and the amazement and the end of the argument, if you're willing to listen to it. When the 66 books of the Bible, with their 1,189 chapters, made up of 31,173 verses, are brought together, we find a perfect harmony and a singular message. How in the world could all those men, over 1,600 years separation, have the same message? Logic dictates that there had to be a common author. And see, there's where we stand. Why is there a perfect harmony? Why is there a singular message? Because there was one author. Many writers, but one author. And that is the Holy Spirit. And this is what Peter attests to here. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Many writers, one author. That one author is God. Now, let's dig into this statement just a moment. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Men spoke from God. Now, Peter, Moses, David, Paul, you know, they didn't wake up one morning, you know, and said, you know, it'd be important if we write some of this stuff down. Somebody might like to hear this. We better write it down. No. Peter, Paul, Luke, John, Amos, Joshua, all of them were in the same spirit as David when he wrote in 2 Samuel, "The Spirit of the Lord speaks by me. His word is on my tongue." Not my word, not my thinking, but his word. Men spoke from God. Men wrote from God. They were inspired, and they were protected from sinfulness as they wrote that text given to them by the Holy Spirit. The writers of Scripture were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, this phrase, carried along, is a very unique phrase. It means to be born. It means to be born. The writers were born out of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's also a nautical term used in the Greek. So just as a ship, a sailing ship with no engines, was empowered, born by the energy found in the wind, moved by the wind, so were the writers of holy text. You set a boat out into the water, there's no wind, the boat can't say, you know, let's create some wind so we can move. It is fully dependent on an outside source That's what that phrase means. We're carried along by the Holy Spirit. They were born by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along by an outside entity, a divine entity. Men spoke not of themselves, but from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Now, there is another aspect of authority that we must consider here. Verse 16. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Eyewitnesses to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Their eyewitness accounts provide another level of authority. Now, if Peter were not inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, his eyewitness account would have no value. But coupled with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and his eyewitness account, which makes him an apostle, he can write and he does have an authority. This is key. They did not write myths. Much of the argument today is that this is a book of myths. This is a book of myths, especially the first 10 chapters of the book of Genesis. That creation thing didn't happen. They just made that up. A myth is a story which man formulates to express his own desire without any reference to reality. Folks, it's a whole lot easier on the world if it's argued that this is a myth, because it then has no teeth. But if you accept it as inspired, then it's got teeth. The Holy Scriptures are not men's stories. They are stories of truth as eyewitnessed by the writers, put down on paper, protected by the Holy Spirit, so that down through the ages, God's people would have the truthfulness of God's word in your hands. And see, this was Peter's desire. If you go back with me to verse 15, when we closed out last week, Peter writes, he knows he's about to die. Remember we said that last week. And he says, I will make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able to, at any time to recall these things. What things? Well, all that he's been writing and teaching you about Jesus Christ. Well, how is he going to maintain, how is he going to keep it so that you will have it after his death? Write it down. And see, this is what Peter wanted to do for his people. We can recall all these things because God's holy word, given by the Holy Spirit, protected by the Holy Spirit, and revealed to us today by the Holy Spirit, is the essence of what God intends for the Bible for his people. And again, I ask the question, what do you believe about the authority and inspiration of Scripture? Because this is the foundational element. And what is the message that Peter seeks to share? For when we received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention. Meaning what the prophets wrote about Jesus Christ, Peter witnessed it to come to pass. He's writing of what he saw come to pass, which is the validation of prophecy, which again adds a level of authority. Again from the confession. The whole counsel of God concerning all things necessary for his own glory, man's salvation, faith, and life is either expressly set down in Scripture or by good and necessary consequence may be deduced from Scripture, unto which nothing at any time is to be added, whether by new revelations of the Spirit or traditions of men. Everything God desires to say to you ever is right here. He seeks nor desires to say anything else to you. That's why the canon is closed. Now, what he does have today are preachers and teachers to reveal what's in God's Word, not New Testament. Folks, we do not have a luxury to toy with the Word of God. We do not. The infallible rule of interpretation of Scripture is the Scripture itself. And therefore, when there's a question about the true and full sense of any Scripture, we should go searching Scripture. And then Scripture will clarify that in our minds, in our hearts, as much as God desires for it to be clear. There are some things you search all your life and never find the clarity. You just have to say amen and thank you, Lord. We believe Scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and we believe it to be true, rule of faith. We believe all Scripture, which directly, whether directly or indirectly, points to the head of the church. All Scripture points to Jesus Christ. There are those that would argue every verse points to Christ. I'm not quite there, but enough of it points to Christ that I know who they're talking about. Folks, again, I cannot overemphasize the statement Peter makes here. Men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the inspired, inerrant, infallible word of the living God. And it is necessary and good for all of life, for all of faith, for all of our practice. We are to search nowhere else. Let's pray together. Father, we in submission bow to you in the giving of this holy word. Many would refer to us and the mindset that I hold as worshipers of a book. I am not a worshiper of a book, but I am a worshiper of one who wrote the book. And as you have given us, this is the revelation that you wish for your people to know. And so we take it, just as Shire said here this morning, we take it to be true, because the writer is true. Lord, plant deep in our hearts the commitment, above all things, to the inspiration, the validity, the authority, and the truthfulness of the word that you have given us, whereby we might come to know ourselves, you, and the worship you desire. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen.